Good morning. Yeah, I'm not the extra treat here. Clearly, it's going to be Minnesota Adult and Teen Challenge. But thank you, Ruthie. That's very kind of you. I'm going to spend just a few minutes this morning giving a brief sermon or a long devotional, whatever you'd like to call it, about singing. What a glorious experience this just was, singing together, hearing our voices. You guys, you really add a lot of volume to this room and passion, and it's wonderful. So thank you for that. You've already been blessing us. The text this morning is from Ephesians chapter 5, and we were looking at this text actually last week. Pastor Jim led us thinking about Thanksgiving, and we're looking at a couple verses before that. So, Brandon, I don't know exactly where I am here in this. There it is. Great, and I think I can take it from here then. But the text, I'm going to start a bit earlier than this, but you can follow along, and you'll see when we catch up here. Paul wrote to the Ephesians, "Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." Let's pray. Father, your word is for our good, and this gift of singing was for our good. We pray that you will enlighten us to be able to understand what is written here and to be able to cherish what is written here, to cherish this gift of singing, corporate singing that you've given to us, and give us the ability to obey it well. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Mainly what I'd like to do in this short time is take this passage apart phrase by phrase and just explore a few of the phrases and what it means. And so, first of all, I'm going to look at be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. That's kind of the overarching idea as Paul talks about singing together, being filled with the Spirit. What does that mean to be filled with the Spirit? Well, biblically, we could probably come up with several different answers. I tend, in this case, at least, in this case, to lead towards something that's maybe a bit less mysterious than we might think. I don't think, for example, that this is the baptism of the Holy Spirit in Acts 2. I think that this is something maybe a bit simpler. I think the context clues us in a little bit. If we look a bit earlier, in the previous chapter, Paul said, "You were taught to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness." So the whole context here is putting off the old self and putting on the new self. And then Paul gives several ways, singing being one of them, to do that, to exercise that, for that to work itself out. And actually, putting off the old self and putting on the new self starts a series of not this, but this pairs in chapters 4, 5, and 6. I counted 11 of them, and I'm not going to take the time to read all of them, but I'll give you just a few of the last examples. Well, again, first of all, the first one that I found was put off the old self, put on the new self. Later on, it says, walk not as unwise, but as wise. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is, and do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. I think this is one of Paul's ways of just, he's talking about a number of things that putting off the old self looks like. One of them is no longer get drunk with wine. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Be controlled by the Spirit. There's a parallel passage. Did you know there's kind of a parallel letter to Ephesians? It's Colossians. Paul wrote Colossians at the same time as Ephesians in the same prison, sent it with his friend Tychicus to this area. These cities, I haven't been to either of them. Apparently, they're not very far apart. These letters are very, very similar, and there's a parallel passage in Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. I think that be filled with the Spirit corresponds to let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Being filled by the Spirit, letting the word of Christ dwell in us richly, living in us richly. Those sound similar to me, and I don't think it would be a stretch in Paul's mind or biblically as a whole that the word of Christ and the work of the Spirit go hand in hand and in many ways are near synonymous. And just to show you, again, the parallelism here, Ephesians is on your left and Colossians is on your right. Addressing one another, that corresponds with teaching and admonishing one another. And then we have psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs in both passages. We have giving thanks in both passages. So there's incredible parallelism here. I wouldn't be surprised if Paul was writing both letters at the same time. And in one of them, he said, be filled with the Spirit. And in another one, he said, let the word of Christ, the message of Jesus, his gospel and all of its implications, dwell in you richly. Next, addressing one another. I'm no expert in Greek, but, you know, I'm armed with Google, right, and a free Bible app on my computer. Apparently, this word addressing is just the word for speak. And so speaking to one another, you could say. But what does Paul mean when he says addressing one another? Well, he means singing, doesn't he? Speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Well, you're probably not going to go a long time just speaking the lyrics. We want to sing these lyrics. And Paul's talking to all of us, and he's saying, let's address one another. Let's sing together these psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Who is singing? Who is to be doing this addressing? All of us. And this seems obvious as we read this text, right? But there is so much, and this is maybe kind of my high horse here is that the right phrase? My high horse that I like to get up on from time to time, and so I try not to spend too much time on this, put too much energy into this, but so much in our culture today emphasizes what happens up here on this stage. We turn the lights down really, really low. We get the spotlight nice and bright here. Turn up all these instruments. And the congregation can barely hear their own voice, let alone their neighbors. What a wonderful experience it was to sing with you this morning and be able to hear you. And we were all singing together. And so I just want to emphasize that this is all of us singing together. Now, who are we singing? To whom are we singing? Corporate worship is singing to God. I would say that too. Any other day than today. Actually, we will get to that. It's going to be in the text. But guess what this says? Addressing one another. We're singing to one another. So corporate worship is 100%. And we'll get to that in just a second. It's 100% singing to the Lord. It is an incredibly God-word act. But also, it is an act of addressing one another. And again, I think this is something that we miss. What would it look like if we were to sing to one another in church services? I mean, it could get awkward really fast, right? Like, do we turn to our neighbor and just smile and kind of sing to our neighbor the whole time? We think about a song like How Great Is Our God. That song is written in the third person about God. If you look at the lyrics, it's not actually singing to him, it's singing about him. And then it says, sing with me. You could turn to your neighbor and we could be singing to each other the whole time. I'm not convinced that would be entirely inappropriate. Amen. Might be a bit awkward, but I want to challenge us. How can we address one another in our singing? Inappropriate ways. Let's push back against this kind of just me and God or even just the worship team kind of mentality. There's a one another element here. Next, addressing one another means teaching and admonishing in all wisdom. This is not in the Ephesians text. This is in the Colossians text. Again, this is the parallel phrase, teaching and admonishing one another. There's a lot we could say about the teaching power of song, the admonishing power, the encouraging power, the exhorting power of song. And I was thinking about that as we were singing today, just the rich, rich text that we were singing and how it was encouraging me and reminding me again. One thing I want to draw our attention to is when Jesus sang. Can you think of the time that Jesus sang? It's recorded once in the Gospels. Well, kind of twice, if you count Matthew and Mark saying the exact same sentence. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. You know when this was? This was right after the Last Supper. Jesus had just instituted the new covenant. He had just broken bread and said, "This is my body." And he offered them the wine and he said, "This is my blood." And he put the Passover in a new light, in its all of its fullness of who Jesus is and what he was especially about to do. The next thing that they were going to do was go out to the Mount of Olives, where he was going to be betrayed, arrested, tortured, and killed. And what did they do? They sang a hymn. And this traditionally, as part of the Passover, was the Hallel, if I'm saying that right. I don't know. This is Psalms 113 to 118. And usually they would sing the first several psalms maybe before the meal. And then after the meal, they would finish up with Psalm 118. And I want to draw our attention to a few of the phrases that they sang together right before Jesus went out and faced this. Look at this and just imagine with me. I'm sorry, this text is a bit smaller. I wanted to fit it all on here. Imagine Jesus singing, "The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me? It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. I was pushed hard so that I was falling, but the Lord helped me. I shall not die, but I shall live and recount the deeds of the Lord. The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone." I don't understand quite how Jesus in his full humanity was able to be taught. Could he be admonished? Could he be warned against the temptation coming up? Maybe we can say that. For sure, Jesus was encouraged and he was strengthened as he was singing this. I'm sure the disciples were too, especially later as they looked back and they thought about, wow, the Passover, Psalm 118, and then what happened? And as they're thinking back, this instructed them. Again, we could say so much more about the teaching and admonishing power of song, but I'm going to leave it there for now. Next, we do sing to the Lord. No doubt, as I said, singing is very much a Godward act. The text says it is to the Lord, and it is giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father. So singing is simultaneously singing to one another and to the Lord. This shouldn't surprise us in the context here. The whole of Ephesians 4, 5, and 6 has so much one another in it, and yet it is over and over and over again as unto the Lord in light of what Christ has done. One example, you can go look this up on your own later. One example, bondservants, obey your earthly masters as to the Lord and not to man. We sing as to the Lord and not to man, even though it does include an element of addressing one another. We obey our masters. Everything that we are to do is as unto the Lord. And clearly, I mean, as we're singing these wonderful songs, this would be completely empty, wouldn't it, singing together? I had a chance to look in a Unitarian Universalist hymnal a few months ago. We happened to be at one of their churches, I guess, for an event. And reading through this text, it just struck me. It hit me very hard how empty it is without having a true object of worship, one who is worthy of our thanksgiving and praise. So we sing to the Lord. Next, with your heart. With your heart. We sing with our voices, but Paul says sing with your heart. It'd be redundant to say sing with your voices. He says sing with your heart. What's he getting at there? I think, maybe, he might be referring back to something that Jesus said in Mark 7. Jesus said to the Pharisees and the scribes, "Well did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites. As it is written, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men." So I think maybe what Paul's getting at with your heart is we don't worship with hypocrisy or in hypocrisy. We worship in sincerity. It's not about what comes out of our mouth and what our voice can produce. It is about where that is coming from. That's coming from our heart. We worship not in vain or in futility, but actually pleasing the Lord. It is vain to utter these songs without meaning them in any sense. It's vain, it's futile, but when it comes from our hearts, it pleases the Lord. The last phrase, giving thanks. And again, we spent the sermon last week in this passage talking about thanksgiving, and that's what we were doing when we were singing just a few moments ago. We were giving thanks. That's what we are going to continue to do as you guys come forward. You're going to be giving thanks among many things, but perhaps fundamentally, that's what you're going to be doing. And perhaps fundamentally, that's for sure an essential element of all of life worship is thanksgiving. And for sure, it's an essential element of our singing together. So, Minnesota Adult and Teen Challenge, we bless you. We're grateful that you're here. And we're looking forward to receiving this gift as you address us. And so I'm going to invite you forward with Ephesians 5. I'm going to say, be filled with the Spirit. Address us in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I invite you forward now. Thank you.